culminated. They added to each other to create a certain very favorable mood. That is the mood of sincerely questioning ourselves. Where do we stand in relationship to all these desirable, highly attractive, transcendental matters? This actually comes about as we enter the Govardhan retreats, and we decided, as those who designed the retreat, we means Bhuijan, Jagatarini, Prashanta and her team, and so on, we decided to give one free day in the middle of the retreat so that the devotees could think about these things, could think about this question, which unavoidably and desired, it's desired, this question comes up on a retreat. The sincere questioning, where do I stand in relationship to these subjects, and what could I possibly do or pray for to come to my next step in my spiritual life? So when the question came up at the end of Bhuijan Prabhu's excellent presentation, I mean, I really benefited so much listening to it and seeing the subtle dealings that, or subtle thoughts which go on in the mind of God, which go on in the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and which are chamatkar and not fully understandable for us who are jivas. As I listened to all of this, I also thought again, wow, this is very desirable to enter into such an affectionate dealings with the Supreme Lord. So how do I do this? What are my next steps? Every one of us on this call, everyone who later visits these online presentations, should come to this point during the retreat and ask precisely this question: where do I stand and what are my next steps? Then this retreat is successful. Let us remember, these Krishna conscious subjects are not merely to entertain us, to give us an emotional or intellectual kick. I think that's the English word, the kick. It is meant to bring us really to a place where we ourselves contemplate how we can come closer to Krishna. And my dear devotees, there may not be an immediate answer to this question, but just the fact that you asked this question, how can I come closer to Krishna, means you are miles, you have moved miles forward on your journey in spiritual life. It's not always important to have all the precise answers together just now. But what is important is to develop a mood of eagerness, of yearning to move on and to move further. Now, in my last lecture, I will try to give you four areas in which you could look and in which you could make further, let me say, in which you could invest some attention and some effort. And I think if you do so, you will start to feel the amazing experience of being carried by the spiritual energy and in this way move forward, not on your own steam, but on the steam of divine empowerment. But more on of this later. I will enter into a very mysterious shloka today, which is the next shloka and my last shloka. I think you will, at least I had great joy in I put it together already before, but yesterday I concluded everything so that I could present it today. We will read today verse 33 of Utkalika Valari. Let us once again go into the frame or understand the situation in which this verse was spoken. It is spoken at the end of Srila Rupa Goswami's stay on this earth. He has entered the deep forest of Vrindavan, and he has fallen on the ground with great longing, because now he addresses Radha and Krishna, whom he has worshipped the major portion of his life. He's a great acharya, if you wish. He's very accomplished. He has written important guidebooks. He has established temples which would be visited for centuries after his own workings, in other words, posthuman, when he would have left already. He has inspired with his own examples many devotees. He has in some ways consolidated the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's known as the leader of all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has now one great desire, which he will reveal. He feels all this has happened as the Dwara. He was only the gate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who worked through him. He has now something personal to request. He wants to have the darshan of Radha and Krishna, not just to see them, but to render his personal service. It's called in Sanskrit Swarup Seva, the service to the Lord's own form. And he is going in a curved path. Sometimes as he prays, he has a momentary vision, a spurti in his heart. Sometimes he feels very, very far away from Radha and Krishna. He goes in between the two opposites of meeting the Lord in his heart and of feeling very separated. But he wants something beyond this curved path of meeting in the heart and feeling separated. He wants to see them with his spiritualized eyes, crossing the path of his eyes, so to say, and then rendering service to them. Ultimate desires, ultimate spiritual desires. Our seminar is called Developing Divine Aspirations, and the understanding is that we all have spiritual desires, but we need to do some spiritual echology to free them from the layers of contamination and dirt and go right to the essence. Okay, so now let us hear the verse. Ataki. One moment. I have to. Atakita sami kshanala sitaya muda shlishyator nikunja bhavanga nispurita gora nila langoyo rucha prachuryantu Vampurata yutika manjari virajadali ramayo mama chamatkritim chakshusho. As you embrace with intense joy on suddenly seeing each other, with shining gold and black limbs, attractive as a bee on a golden utica bud, may your complexions deepen the astonishment of my eyes in the yard of the Bauer Pavilion. Okay, let's unpack this compact verse. He speaks about the beauty of the golden and dark limbs of Radha and Krishna, which he wishes to see with great astonishment. And he describes a particular scene. Krishna searches all over the forest of Vrindavan for Srimati Radharani, almost like a black bee who searches for a Jutika flower, a jasmine flower. Now suddenly Krishna sees Srimati Radharani, who has been readying a bower, a meeting place that is surrounded with trees and creepers. It's almost like a tree or creeper house. So suddenly Krishna sees Srimati Radharani in this Nikunja Mandir, and both of them become extremely happy upon seeing each other. Govindadas, the poet, describes this meeting. Radha and Krishna, upon meeting, look at each other with tear-filled eyes, and as their eyes meet, both of them feel as if they are immersed in a nectar ocean. And this immersion in the nectar ocean increases their great eagerness to embrace each other with intense joy. And Rupa Goswami describes actually this scene. Krishna, who he compares here with a black bee, is landing on the golden Jutika flower. And this looks very astonishing. The word chamat kritim is used. By the way, this verse is this word chamat kritim, very, very astonishing, very amazing, is also used in the verse before. It is described the main quality of these divine darshans, so to say, is that the one who has the darshan is always totally astonished. It is not like, and as it is as if he sees Radha and Krishna for the first time. And so do Radha and Krishna feel when they see each other. Absolutely nothing is hackneyed. Absolutely nothing is as it was before. Absolutely everything is totally fresh, totally astonishing, therefore. In English, there's this word amazing or awesome, but I don't think these two words would really be able to capture that ecstasy with which the divine couple feels. But why is it so absolutely surprising to Rupa Goswami? For this, you will need now to hear a little bit special, because we will enter into a level of increased depths now in our consideration. By the way, these verses are bottomless in their depths, but we want to go now one level deeper about some hidden meaning. Rupa says, this astonishes my eyes more and more. In other words, as he has the divine vision, he becomes more and more and more astonished. It increases. Why? Because the effulgence of Radha and Krishna, the splendor of Radha and Krishna, one golden, the other blackish, do not mix. When you have colors in this world, or light in this world, let us say, yes, golden and blue, when the two lights come together, they will mix and create another color. Do you know which color? Golden and blue, and they mix, creates, yes, some of you I in the room here where I'm speaking have said, green, it becomes green. Or when two metals are entering into a conjunction, that's an alchemical word, they will create a third metal, an alloy. But Radha and Krishna's splendors don't mix and create something new. No, Srimati Radharani's splendor, it's here, is overpowering the splendor of Krishna. Can you for a moment think what this might be hinting at? Srimati Radharani's golden effulgence covering that of Krishna. Have we ever heard about something like this? Obviously, when the Gaura Kanti captures the Nila Kanti, we have inside Krishna, outside Radha, which is none else than Gaura Hari. You know, Srila Rupa Goswami, in other words, sees the form of Gaura Hari, that is, when Radha and Krishna are in their most confidential, the word which is used in poesy is Milan, the meeting. Let us stop for a moment. And Radha and Krishna meet. The two eyes of Radha, two eyes of Krishna, together four eyes. Something new. Two arms plus two arms, four arms. Two legs plus two legs, four legs. But no, here is this Radha and Krishna meet, two eyes and two eyes meet, but it's two eyes only, Gauranga. Two arms, Gauranga. Two legs, Gauranga. The form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most intimate meeting of Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami describes how unexpectedly Krishna was searching for Radha. Sometimes, they do meet, and their splendor becomes Gauranga. One form, and so on. To express this a little bit through a leela, I would like to tell you about the Pilipukur leela. There was a time when our retreats were divided into two places. We would have the Krishna Katha related retreat in Govardhan, at the site of Govardhan, and the holy name retreat, related retreat. This is the second retreat in Vashana. And in Vashana, we often visited a little pond, beautiful pond, which is surrounded by two banyan trees please help me, what is it called? A tree whose leaves are heart-shaped. A peepal tree, wherever you find in Vrindavan this peepal tree with a heart-shaped leaf, it goes like this, and then it has a thing like this. I might have a leaf here in the Gaura Bhavan, which I could show you. Wherever you find this particular tree, you must know that Radha and Krishna are present there. I have one old leaf. It is not 100% complete here. Here you would see in the leaf on the tree, you would see a long thing going like this. But you can see it's about heart-shaped, like this. I can also turn it around. Mm-hmm. This pond near Vashana, you may go about 500 meters, I would say, from the beginning of the staircase, which brings you up, and you find this beautiful lake, which is lake, not pond, which is surrounded by banyan trees and peepal trees. Here a particular pastime took place, which is relished by the Gaudiyas very much. Once we hear Srimati Radharani came and cooked breakfast for Krishna in Nandagram, and when when Krishna had eaten, Yashoda Rani served Radha and her sakis a meal, and after the meal, Yashoda became so overwhelmed with affection for Radha that without thinking much about it, she took some turmeric and wrapped it on the hands of the palms of Radha, and she said, "Radha, you should be the wife of my Krishna in the future." By the way, in local traditions, this means when the mother-in-law rubs turmeric into the palms of a girl, then this is one of the many things which indicate an, let me look for the English word, an engagement. So Yashoda Rani could not help herself in seeing the qualities of Srimati Radharani and also the affection with which she had cooked the breakfast for her Krishna, that she thought this would make an ideal couple in the future. So Radha had this turmeric, this yellow color on her hands, and did not really know what to do with this. So she walked back from Nandagram to Vashana, and as she walked back, was thinking, oh no, if I come to Vashana and people or my parents see my yellow hand, they will think, what happened? To whom is our Radha promised in the future? And not knowing what to do and being surrounded by her girlfriends who laughed and laughed and laughed about the situation, she went to this Pilopukur, which is when you go from Nandagam to Vashana, just before Vashana. And she washed her hands with great emotion and love for Krishna in this lake, so that her hands were clear of that yellow color. And then she left for Vashana. A little later, Krishna came to Pilipukur, and he saw the yellow color of the turmeric had spread out on the surface of the water. But being Krishna, he also felt the emotions of Srimati Radharani. It's almost like an homeopathy. You have the carrier of the medicinal substance. It is either a pill or it could be water. But then you have the medicinal substance there, which has tremendous healing power in a very subtle vibrational form. You know homeopathy. So when Krishna saw the yellow substance, he could feel the emotional life, the feelings of Radharani, which were vibrating and which are tremendous love for him, which is so great that Krishna himself wants to know, what is the nature of Radha's love? I mean, how can there be so much love in her? Then he also thought, what does Radha see in me? What qualities make her so attracted to me? And then he wondered, and what does Radha feel when I respond to her love and express my love for her? I would love to feel this. And as he had these thoughts, according to this pastime, he just immersed himself into Pilipukur. He went really down on the ground. He looked up. He saw everything was golden. And he came out again. And for a moment, he felt this great ecstasy. And again, he sank down on the ground and came out. And this time when he came out, he had changed. His body was no longer bluish. His body was covered with a yellow complexion of Radha, her emotional feelings. And he ran for a moment through the forest around Pilupukur, shouting loudly, "Hey Krishna, 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 Krishna Chandra, Nandanandan!" like this, no? He felt what Radha was feeling, this intense yearning for Krishna. That is told this pastime, as the pastime that happened in Pilipukur. And after some time, he came back into his Krishna role with a cowherd stick and thinking, "What happened to me?" And then he joined his cowherd boys for herding the cow. My dear devotees, I'm purposefully have chosen this verse, the sequence of verses actually, to point out something which I feel is very, very important. I think it is crucial. That is, how can we understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? If we think of him as a historical personality who appeared more than 500 years in Bengal, we will not really capture the essence of who he is. If we think of him as a religious leader of his time who reformed the religious understanding and broke the stronghold, the strangling stronghold of the Brahminical caste over the religious development of the life of the time. If you think of him as a social reformer, almost like Martin Luther, who broke the stronghold of the Catholic Church and its claim that only through their priests salvation of the individual was possible. If we think like him in socio-political terms, we will not capture the essence of what is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Only if we think of him as a very special form of Radha and Krishna who appeared in the Kali Yuga to point out a spiritual path that is doable and relevant for the conditioned souls, then we will be able to make some progress. Please take note of these two words: a spiritual path which is doable and relatable or relevant to the conditioned souls. Let us ask ourselves the question, what is this spiritual path? Why is he considered to be the Yuga Avatar? Why is his position so much highlighted? Why has our Bhurijam Prabhu taken great effort to really penetrate this chapter of Adi Antya Lila? And I understand he has gone through all the various chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why he has chosen this chapter in the Govardhana retreat, which is so much in his heart this Govardhana retreat. Because, my dear devotees, the path of Lord Chaitanya will answer the question which we have when we asked ourselves, where do I stand in connection, in relationship to these high exalted subject matters, which seem to be so beyond me, which seem to be so unattainable by me. If you hear Mahaprabhu's contribution, you will have an answer and you will have something practical to work with. I would like to read to you from a lecture which Srila Prabhupada gave in January 1977, that means towards the end of his pastimes, in Mumbai. I will read to you sections of this lecture. Don't worry, I will read very slowly and in a way where it's easy to grasp what Prabhupada says. So Srila Prabhupada describes in this lecture the process of attaining love of Godhead, of becoming, in other words, mad for him. Mad does not mean some psychological disturbance here. It means an intenseness that includes all other desires and so on. So Prabhupada says, to understand Krishna is very, very difficult. Out of many, many millions of persons, maybe one even tries to make his life successful. And out of many, many such successful persons, yatatam apisitanam, who've attained city of perfection, only one may understand Krishna. So, first of all, he's explaining the process of attaining Krishna. So he says, first of all, this is how to start. We cannot understand Krishna. That's the first point. Don't become despaired. He has a lot more things to say. Then the question comes, where's the question of developing love of God, love of Krishna? If you do not understand somebody, how will you love him? Love is far away. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that he is distributing Krishna Prema. Take. Anyone, come. Krishna Prema Pradayati. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very practical. He says, I want to give Krishna prema. One should be ecstatic, emotional in Krishna prema. One should cry for Krishna. The Mahaprabhu wants to give all this, no? And he taught everyone by his practical example how he was mad after Krishna. Govinda virahiname shunjaitam jagatsavam govindam virahiname. This is Krishna prema. without Krishna, one should see everything as vacant. So, I would love to continue here. Prabhupada will say that for most of us we have many other desires, so there is some difficulty. And he said, my Guru Maharaj gave one example. If you go to a rich man and he says, now whatever you like, you came to my house, I will give to you. And you asked him, give me a pinch of ash. Is that so intelligent? Similarly, there's a story that one old woman, and he talks about the woman, was carrying a bundle of wood on her head, and it was so heavy, she asked, God, please help me. And God came to her and asked, what do you want? The old woman said, can you carry this heavy wooden bundle? And then God came, Prabhupada says, to give a benediction, and she wanted to put this bundle So we are doing the same thing. We go to God and ask him, kindly give me the bundle on my head. So the first process really in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, the first stepping stone, if you want to know down, this is now the time to make a note. Face your own fallen condition. In ISKCON language, the language which you are used to, we would say be humble. But we have used this word so many times that I think it has lost its meaning for most of us. It has been a word we chewed so often in our mouth that we don't taste any longer the quality of this word. Humbleness means a vision of reality. Face your own condition, that you are a spiritual soul bewildered by so many external desires and you can't help it. It's there. My dear devotees, as simple as it may sound, but this is the first prerequisite for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. This, I would say, vision of reality. I avoid the word humbleness because we heard it so often that it goes in here and it goes out here because we think we heard this. No, therefore we say face the reality. Confront it. Don't run away from it. Don't plaster nice philosophy over it. Don't plaster positions over it. Don't plaster your likes on Facebook over it. Don't plaster your achievements in this world over it. Take away these facades, these self-deceptive facades, and come to the reality. You are a fallen soul. Please excuse me. The second inner quality is eagerness. See, the problem with translations Dainya is a very complex Sanskrit term, and we translate it as humility and lose about 80% of the meaning of the word. Is what we understand with these words is that we think all the time about our own insufficiency, like I said, confront your own situation. But yes, that should be there, but the other should be there is the eagerness. As our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, humility doesn't mean to think less of yourself, but to simply think of yourself not so often, you know. Less, he said. No? What it means is to put Krishna in the center. And you hear, we saw this, now we will see this in tomorrow's verse. No, tomorrow is no verse, but maybe I will say a small verse tomorrow. Rupa Goswami says, yes, I know I have all these desires, but I'm wretched. I'm in a material body. I'm plagued by many desires, but still I yearn for something which not even exalted sadhakas like Lord Shiva have. Why? Because you are so sweet. You are so wonderful. Eagerness means you want something although you do not deserve it. When you want something which you deserve, it's not eagerness. It is something that you are entitled to get. No? Eagerness is something that you want, something you are not entitled. So this interesting mixture of facing reality, confronting the fallen situation, but being eager for Krishna. That, my dear devotees, is the inner condition which you need to have in Gauranga Bhakti. And there's something outer on the which you need to do. And that is Shravanam and Kirtanam. In our movement, a lot of stress is put on kirtan, on holy name, japa and kirtan. Thanks God, the Hare Krishna movement has understood that it should become the Hare Krishna chanting movement. Yes. But it is equally important in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process to do Shravanam, to hear. Because again, if you don't know whose name you chant, how will you ever chant with understanding and devotion and yearning and longing and all these things? Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out, just like Krishna always comes with his Swarup Shakti, that is Radha, the holy name always comes with Krishna Katha, talking about Krishna. And the Govardhan Retreat Center is dedicated to have these two things, that there's a holy name retreat each it comes after Kartik normally, when we have physically this retreat. There's a holy name retreat for 1 week, and then a little longer because we have one day in the middle, the reflection day. There is the Krishna Katha day, where our presenters present from based on the Bhagavatam and the Goswami scriptures the exalted philosophy of Krishna consciousness. This is what you should do. Outside Shravanam Kirtanam, and I encourage all of you, raise your tired devotional spirits by hearing the Bhagavatam, studying the Bhagavatam, also Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes, and then This alone will not suffice. You must have also the inner body. Humility or dainya and eagerness, lolyam, apilolyam. This is the inner body. This is the soul, the heart of the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And then Shravanam and Kirtanam is like the body, the limbs outside. No? If a bird wants to fly, it must have two wings. In other words, if you wish to fly on the sky of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mercy, you need to have two wings in place. One is your inner cultivation, humility and eagerness, and the other is your Shravanam Kirtanam. And these two need to meld together. They need to come together. In other words, your Shravanam and Kirtanam must be infused with humility and eagerness. When you sit down to chant, you must chant from a place of, I am a small soul. I have been a Mayadas for so long. Oh, too much of a Mayadas, or Mayadasi I have been. Now, my Lord, I'm turning to you. Please accept me as your servant. This is the mood of Kirtan. If this mood is not there, it's a soulless Kirtan. We don't want to hear such Kirtan. It is not a real Kirtan. It is only the surface. So this eagerness, on the other hand, can only come in you when you hear about Krishna. Oh, he is like this. Oh, he is like that. Oh, Mahaprabhu, such loving dealings. Oh, so very shukshma, so very fine, so very considerate. Oh, you hear. I understand more about the mind of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Oh, now I feel more of an interest to relate to him. And so on. Then that with that inner mood, your Shravanam and Kirtanam, I lost my point here. I wanted to say Shravanam and Kirtanam inform your inner mood, and your inner mood informs Shravanam and Kirtanam. Both need to be together. If my soul leaves now, pang, I will fall and will not continue this lecture. At least not with words. I think I will have a great impact on you. This lecture would be something you would not forget. Last words and so on, but you know what I mean. I need both soul and need to express it with the voice and with the body. It's doable. Don't say, no, Maharaji, I'm too fallen. This is a cheap excuse. It is very ordinary. It is the same. When do we stop making such excuses? Can you sit down and hear from the scriptures? Yes. Can you sing? Yes. Can you understand what is your situation in this world? Well, Maharaj, I'm very proud. I deceive myself a lot. Okay, I am the same. But as you go through life, you will see that life tears down these false facades, these false, here comes a new word, narratives, which your ego tells about yourself. And you will understand, oops, I'm not in control here. Oops, I'm in the hands of something else, fate or karma or whatever, and so on. It is doable. But we must mix these two together, the inner and the outer. And if you say, Maharaji, thank you so much for telling. Thank you. We have seen you have a personal, you feel personally about your subjects, this subject. We are grateful for this, but it doesn't work for me. Then I give you one tip. It's a tip from Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, great exalted Vaishnava Acharya of the medieval times. Not even medieval, I think it's 12th century, is it? Or very old. He said at his time, when all the sadhanas fail you, you're not successful with any sadhana, there's still something left which will always work. What is this? It is the association of devotees. I can't imagine that he speaks about just, you know, let us say, casual talks, but maybe he thinks about it, because if you have exalted devotees, even if they talk about things, you know, in a casual way, does something on a deeper level, there is some hidden benefit that is coming through the heart. But if you have essential association with devotees who like you, who are full of affection to you, and which are slightly more advanced than you, then something will happen. It will happen. It will happen. So, good. I have come to the end. Why is Gauranga Mahaprabhu so? Another point about Lord Chaitanya, final point. See, we are Jiva Shakti. Our ability to relish is Anu. Anu means very small, small, small. But he is Vibhu. He is all powerful. And his ability to relish Radha and Krishna's mellows, rasa, is very, very big. Therefore, we would see, or his biographers have seen in him manifestations of ecstasies which were never seen before and which were never seen afterwards. I'm speaking of things like his body becomes so hot with the viraha agni, with the fire of separation, that he falls on a stone, and when he comes up, there are imprints of his limbs on the stone. Bhujam Prabhu and me have seen in Aladanat this stone where these imprints are there. With our own eyes and critical mind, we have investigated and we have said, yes, it is like it is being narrated. He is Vibhu, all-powerful. His relishing of Krishna rasa, or the Syam rasa, is unlimited. And by his mercy, Kripa Shakti, he has made a channel from that ocean to us. It flows over Srila Rupa Goswami. A sparrow cannot drink the ocean, no? How will the ocean fit in a little beak of the sparrow? How will we understand Krishna? Prabhupada says it's impossible because it's too big. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, taking the role of an understander, he can understand, and the channel comes from him over Rupa Goswami, which reaches us and from which we can drink. It's not the heaving ocean of rasa with towering waves, 10 meters high. It's a channel which we can approach. Therefore, let me end this conversation by quoting to you a verse which Krishnadas Kaviraj put into his Chaitanya Charitamrita about Rupa Goswami, how he is the channel. Priya Swarupe, Daita Swarupe, Prema Swarupe, Sahaja Birupe, Nijanurupe, Prabhu Ekarupe, Tatana Rupe, Swavilasa Rupe. I think all of us have recognized the word Rupe, Rupe, Rupe. Priya Swarupe, Daita Swarupe, Prema Swarupe, Sahajavi Rupe, etc. Indeed, the verse says, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarup Damoda, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love. Here, please. He's the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love. Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He carefully followed all the principles that were enunciated by the Lord, and he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I believe this is maybe the one we are most interested in, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expended his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literature. Remember, without these verses, no devotee can understand sufficiently the form, the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. That's a very nice verse. You can, I think those who love Rupa Goswami, like our Prashanta, loves and Bhurijan love and so many love. It is in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19, text 121. So there are now 5 participants who have raised their hands. Do we still have time, O Krishna? Yeah, I will have to be very fast then. Yes, Prashanta, please help us.
All right, Maharaj. Yes, we have 10 minutes more. We are happy. Okay, the first one on the list here is, one we already had this morning, Pratik Agarwal.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Hari Bol.
Maharaj, I had a question from yesterday. Yesterday, you talked about the stimulants in our what are the stimulants that we need stimulants to fire up our devotional service. Sometimes we don't have access to the stimulants like Vrindavan Dham or an association of devotees that we aspire for. So how do we, though we know the stimulus, but we are not able to access the stimulus. So how should we, shall we create new stimulants or what should we do then?
Thank you, Pratik. I have a question to you. What are these 1, 2, 3, I can see yellow folders behind you. What is in there?
Those are accounts of my businesses.
Accounts of what?
My business.
Your business.
Five.
I see you have five of these folders full with accounts. Why do you have them? You want your business to work nice. Otherwise, you will not prosper, and your marriage prospect might be questionable, or other disadvantages would come. So therefore, you have five folders of business accounts behind you. They are marked with P. I can see very clearly. So the stimulants, you need to have stimulants like that also. You need to put in your room pictures of Krishna, not just business accounts. Your spiritual life is necessary, needs these remembrances, these inspirations also. You cannot be lazy on this. You know, when I'm, this is for your eternal life, Pratik. You know, when you are lazy and do not add maybe a sixth, a seventh, eighth, ninth folder with your business accounts there, you are finished as a businessman. So as a devotee also, if you do not have these spiritual books, pictures, music, and so on in your life, you are finished. Not even an initiation will help you. So, Hare Krishna, I am sorry that I addressed you a little personal. If you want, I could look more in your room and see what other stimulants have, and I could point out the lack of spiritual stimulants, and you would flush. But I don't do this. I love you very much, so no need to do this. Don't forget what I said. I needed to be a little practical to get through to you. Okay, the next one.
Okay, Maharaj, I will speak in defense of our Pratik. He's studying Bhakti Vaibhav, so he does spend a little time with Prabhupada's books. Okay, the next one is Vijay Mehta. Please unmute yourself, Vijay. Vijaya. Unmute me. Yeah, you can speak now.
Hare Krishna Maharaj,
yes.
My humble obeisances, Maharaj. Thank you so much for the class, Maharaj. It did have a great impact. I was able to relate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a way that I have never done before. Maharaj, my question is that you said about Savroop Seva, personal service to the form of the Lord. Could you explain a little bit more on that? Does it mean my particular relationship with the Lord? Thank you so much.
Yes, Swarup Seva is something very high. It is what the associates of Radha and Krishna do when they serve Radha and Krishna in the forests of Vrindavan. But what we as conditioned souls can do in this world is we can serve the deity form of the Lord, which, as we heard in Bhuri Jampabhu's wonderful presentation, is really also, yes, on one hand it is, there is a stone and so on, but or brass, but the deities, there is something else, there's a conjunction. Therefore, sometimes when we pray to the deities, we feel that they are communicating back to us, no? They are, it's not just one thing, it is another thing as well. So you can do service to deities and so on. What those who are Nam Bhaktas hold is that it is so often said that Krishna is identical with the holy name. So these devotees who have faith in these statements, they think that by chanting the holy name, they do Swarup Seva also. I know some devotees who told me that when they chant, they feel they're decorating the form of the Lord with flowers. So these are some forms in which we can do Swarup Seva or approach Swarup Seva, but the Sanskrit word in its, let us say, original meaning is often used to refer to the personal service the associates of Krishna do. Hare Krishna. Yes, there is another questioner, I think.
Yes, we can hear from Sudhir. I suppose Sudhir Krishna or Sudhir Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble respects. Humble respects to Krishna Prabhupada. Maharaj, during today's presentation, you mentioned it is very difficult to know Krishna out of many thousands of people who strive for perfection. Only one can understand, or very few can understand Krishna. So, and also you mentioned that how can we, it's natural for a person that we, when we know of a person only, then our propensity to serve or love the person increases when we understand or know a person. So for me, the question of knowing Krishna, I understand it in two ways. One is by service, the other is seeing the qualities in devotees, because Krishna's qualities are manifest in devotees. So if I am able to see the qualities in devotees, then my understanding of Krishna increases. So can you please comment on this, Maharaj? How can we understand Krishna?
Yeah, you have a very nice question. I see you are taking notes, so I will briefly answer it in a way where you can take notes. If we take this presentation, which we have heard, if we take the essence, then we will understand. Prabhupada said you can understand Krishna through Krishna only, that is, through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu gave a certain process by which we can come close to him. This process had an internal and an external shape. Let me start with the external again. You Shravanam Kirtanam, you read in the scriptures about Krishna, preferably the Bhagavatam, and then you do Kirtan, you glorify Krishna on the basis of this understanding. You glorify Krishna as he is described in the Bhagavatam, his various qualities. I also often do this when I do japa, when I sit before my deities. I remember that Krishna is very merciful. I remember that Krishna is compassionate. That I remember Krishna's, one of Krishna's qualities. No? So in this way, your chanting gets some life. Huh? Shravanam Kirtanam. And the internal mood of this process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is developing humility of facing your actual situation and developing eagerness. Now you can ask, yes, where do I place the service of the devotees, and where do I place being compassionate to other living entities, which are essential parts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process? Well, you can put it in the first, that is the category where you have Shravanam and Kirtanam. From Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna, glorifying him, you get a lot of inspiration to also serve his devotees, to serve the Vaishnavas. Krishna. I think, yes.
Isn't it blood here?
Hare Krishna. I think one more is there.
Okay, let me see who is there. Let me see who is there. Mm-hmm. Alicia's phone.
Oh, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
We cannot hear you, unfortunately. You need
yeah,
to...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Danvar Pranam. Maharaj, thank you for giving us this formula of having the mood of humility as well as you having eagerness. Maharaj, my question is how to overcome the tendency to have ulterior motives, because I think unless those ulterior motives are wiped off completely, one will not be able to have the kind of eagerness which our acharyas are pointing towards.
Wonderful question. This is answered in a very realistic way in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. There, in the second canto, various sadhanas or spiritual practices are offered that help us to reach Krishna. And one verse is there, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti. This verse says, if you have material desires, that means ulterior motives, or if you are absolutely free from any material desires, if you are akama and have no ulterior motives, or if you want to have moksha, if you're in this category, you want to just end all this material existence and go back to Godhead to be finally free, whatever your motives are, you should engage in bhakti. And the word which is used there is tivrena bhakti. Tivra can mean intense, it can mean strong, it can mean concentrated. It means you intensify your practice of bhakti. Now, how can you intensify something? The easiest is to intensify the quantity, to do more. Then you can intensify by thinking of the quality. And here you can start to confront your motives. Why do I wish to do this? And clean the motives. These are the two very easy ways in which you can intensify your bhakti. And when you do this, you will automatically become free from your wrong motivations. It's almost like, you know, when you increase the light, the darkness will decrease. It will become less. So my answer to you is try to intensify either the quantity or the quality of your bhakti. Having said this, I look at the clock and I'm really scandalously late. But Prashanta has informed us yesterday that all the questions which are remaining, all questions to all the three of us, or even four of us, including Madhavananda, can be sent to her, and then we will sit down, Bhujan, Jagatarini, Madhavananda, myself, and we will answer these questions for you as good as we can in voice messages. So we want to really serve all of you, and so on. But we need to end here. I will give the microphone to Prashanta here, who will guide us to the next part of the program. But thank you all very much, and I hope it was practical and relatable. And Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.